Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And this is Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome to our show. Today we're very excited to have our special guest, Seven Bohmar, with us today. Seven is, I like to call him a metaphysical philosopher, although Seven's many things. He's been on our show in the past, and he's an excellent guest. He's very highly respected in the spiritual community, and certainly one of the most amazing guests we've ever had on our show. He has so much to say, and we're going to be talking about the paradigm shift and the upcoming Paradigm Shift Conference.
Absolutely. So the Paradigm Shift Conference is coming up on the 18th of July on a Tuesday, and it's hosted by us and by the Paradigm Shift, by Portal to Ascension. So this is going to be very exciting, an all-day webinar, and it's going to feature
Seven Bohmar,
Bruce Lipton, Andrew Harvey of Sacred Activism, Alexander Meaders, host of Galactic Connection, Michelle Mache, host of Awakenings Radio, Michelle Mache, and life coach Brad Axelrod.
And we also have our esteemed producers, Doug and Don Newsom, joining us at the conference.
That's
so we're
right.
Very excited about this. We're very excited to have Seven with us today. Welcome to Universal Soul Love.
Oh, wow. It's just amazing to be back, David, and just to see you two here in video is, you know, it's impressive. I was going to, you know, we just jump right in, but I wanted to just say wholeness. It's a beautiful time to be back and also to be a part of this conference. I mean, the paradigm shift is indeed what's happening right now. So, of course, I'm doing my best when I get in to make that shift happen.
It is. It absolutely is. And the shift is inside. It's outside. The shift is in our relationship with the universe. There's a high vibration everywhere. And the potential is amazing.
As within, so without. As above, so below. It's all happening.
And of course, we're going to be addressing this very thing on our Paradigm Shift webinar. So it's not just going to be about personal empowerment and overcoming adversity and creating the life of your dreams. It's going to be about more than that. It's going to be about rising to a high vibration, you know, allowing yourself to function on a whole new level.
On an optimal scale. I mean, just we're talking about people being able to manifest their desired realities in spite of or what they perceive happening in the world with the global issues and in their personal lives.
We're going to be talking about cutting through the illusion of reality, seeing the truth.
And this is Seven's expertise.
Well, yeah, you know, I know for sure, you know, the reason why it's just going to be so enigmatic is you're going to get so many very, very precise definitions of how one can come into the awakening. But it's going to be from each person's perspective. So, you know, they say some people find out about the matrix by entirely different means. And so, of course, it's really one of those things where I know that there's a lot of people who have come into this understanding, and the knowledge is infinite, actually. It doesn't have a limitation. So you're always going to have many people that come into their own awareness. So I'm just excited to be a part of the panel and to contribute as much as I can, you know, in real time to what's happening here on the planet Earth. I mean, we're all here. It's challenging us to definitely be present and also just really get back into the seat of our own consciousness and also to become explorers and inventors again. And that's really what we focus in on, is not only empowering people, giving them the means to actually do or live this life that or lifestyle that we claim is so amazing. And what I mean by that is obviously we're still in the matrix in the tense to the financial situations. So there's things that actually need to be addressed with major levels of manifestation and how to understand the codes of the matrix itself, like how to know what codes to punch in this world to get the response that you're looking for so you can move on from there into sovereignty, and how to keep sovereignty as the focus and the key inside of the consciousness. This is very important, and so there's a nice presentation that I have, and it keeps evolving because we're also continuously expanding. We're going quantum with our knowledge, and obviously we have even only 55 minutes today top. So I really would just like to go where you want to go, and I know it'll touch the people in the way that it is for this particular moment, which is calibrated for all of us.
Well, I noticed talking to you, Boma, Seven, it creates a consciousness shift. I mean, your mind is out there in 5D or maybe 10D, and so it's just really lovely just talking to you because you present concepts which are very different to everyday life.
And your very presence just has this sort of, you have a calm presence, but you've got this highly, you're very wise in your words and your delivery is very smooth and just... You look great. I just want to say you look great.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. You know, that makes me feel welcome. I mean, I can really, you know, and obviously we're tapping into some amazing stuff. I mean, again, this is the real thing. We're doing it. People know about us and we're making things happen. One of the most important things I've been looking at now is, you know, there's such a, it's even deeper than quantum. And they actually call it zero epsilon, below zero epsilon, or what you would perceive as 0 point. But what can be accomplished in that space? Because there's what we would call infinite bandwidth. This means that there's no limit, there's no interruption in the connection between you and source. And let's just give a brief example here on something that we use every day called the internet. It doesn't matter how fast your internet is. If you call your mother and her internet over the internet and her internet is not that great, it's going to cut off. So her internet has got to be as great as yours for all this connection to begin to come through. And this is what it's like between us now and what we can call the oversoul, higher self, et cetera, is that we're working to increase the bandwidth in order for us to not be the ones that are bottlenecking the big power and potential that we're truly capable of. And when you study all levels of the arts, you know, I won't use a word like knowledge, more like wisdom. When you study the arts, there is a very deep underlining code, if you may, that leads to more precise ways of how to manifest. But the main thing is also maturity, like how to get yourself to the position of being able to understand how to engage a mind that is limitless. And one of the things that we talk about is removing out of the judgment. And how, I mean, I don't have time to completely explain everything about it, but just understanding that in the R complex of the brain, this is like a cog that when we choose to engage it, and we engage it with language, we engage it with judging, we actually roll ourselves back into a more of a primal side of ourselves. And that's why it's called the R complex, the reptilian first DNA strand, which is the foundation to the organic beings in many tenses. So what this is saying is that it's important for us to realize that if we're looking to actually move forward to go with uninterrupted consciousness, then we must begin to realize how to control this master mainframe. And so that's, of course, what the paradigm shift and what I present is really about is, okay, so how do we do that in 2017, though? Because, you know, I've gone back to knowledge thousands and thousands of years or even parsecs ago, according to some of the claims that are made, and also in my own experiences and what I've seen. But there seems to be an infinite string of stories. And I always say that humans are storytelling people. Like, we really love telling stories. Our whole existence is explained within the archetypes of nature. We even would say, look at the ibis and look at this. And we would, so we had even more so than now, we had a much more complex language when we were utilizing these zoomorphications and utilizing different things to interpret the character and interpret how we should communicate. Now we're down into this very rudimentary language like English, and, you know, also a very coded language, a language that many people don't understand even though they use it. And this would be 100% one of the major things to look at, you know, beyond diet and things, just our language communication, how we talk to ourselves. And I always have this statement. I say, if that's you that's talking to yourself in your mind, who's listening? So start to identify that there's really more than one aspect to our consciousness. So this is what we're talking about, you know, just getting it warm a little bit.
I often call it, because I have a strong connection to higher self, I have a guide that actually prefers to call it your greater self or your greater consciousness or your expanded consciousness. And one of my first books, you know, and it's inspired writing, Stream of Consciousness, was Illusion of the Body, which was about panpsychism, the idea that consciousness is in all things and it's just all So, but it was also about body talk, and it was about how illnesses are caused by our own negative thoughts and feelings about ourselves. And of course, I'm not saying that that's the only reason for the cause of illness or the, I believe that most things are multifactorial, but our communication with ourselves is one of the first things we need to look at.
Take it right there. What you said, the communication with ourselves. See, what happens is that let me just give you a little insight into nature, because I think one of our best hobbies that we should pick up is start to grab a microscope. Like right now, microscopes that used to be really expensive are like super cheap on Amazon. So grab a good microscope and have a new hobby. Just go take some pollen and look at it and witness what you thought. Witness what you missed, basically. Witness what you think looks one way. Oh, I guess I'm going to look under there and it looks like a white speck of or yellow speck of dust. No, it looks like an entire world. And also when you even get down deeper, you start to see even there's a pattern. This is something that you don't need a third eye per se. You don't need a X-ray vision to see. And you see this pattern. And what's been discovered already, like I'm just a person, I delve into everything in a sense to getting knowledge in this world. And what was revealed is that there are basically antennas that have the ability to communicate with these levels of life and emulate these levels of life. And that in fact, if we maybe weren't so busy always being awestruck by whatever we see, that which they call blinded by the light, we wouldn't learn that actually even inside of nature's what we call metamaterial, there's actually some flaws there. And this is interesting because if you think about it, most people's like, what do you mean nature is perfect? Well, actually nature has a decay cycle, and this is what's been studied already. Nature has this decay cycle, and when they were trying to find out, hey, where is this decay cycle? Why do things have to die? And this is a question for a long time, and obviously that question had been answered at a certain point, but it's now just leaking to us, and it's basically stating that within our own pattern, that there's these imperfections that cause a lack of conductivity for us and cause a lack of communication for us. And in the event that we can actually put that pattern back together by simply showing it the correct pattern again, because it's a self-mimicking system, we would open up the bandwidth again to our communication. And so this is also why when certain people do it, they can actually spread that frequency, it is a real frequency, to someone else, and then it can start affecting their pattern through their grid. So what I'm looking to do basically is restore the high levels, if you want to say the high sciences, with the metaphysics, so that way we can get some action here. Because the main thing is that people are inventors, they're actually creators. And because of that, if they're not creating, then we're going to see a large lack of invention on the dimension. We're going to see, you know, big Jabba the Hutt driving a big diesel down this highway. We're going to see, you know, you're going to hear noise. You're not going to hear like electronics cars just not even making any noise. And you're not going to get that until we get our inventors, which are the ones that built our ship. Let me just demystify some things for you. See, so what happened here is that all these fragments that you're dealing with here, these what we would call planets, ours in particular, the previous one did blow up. And on that process, because it seems to get like that, it's like the movie The Last Mimsy. So when before that occurs, because many people have foresight to see that, we're in an infinite loop. So we go and we populate the next world over. Now, the next world over will always be primal, because the distance between our planet and the next planet basically means either it's going to be extremely advanced, which so they won't communicate or cannot communicate with us, or extremely primal, so no tech is going to be there. So when we came into this planet, we started from primal. This is where the race began. The only things that could actually even change things on a major level were the relics. Meaning if you already have a city built of crystals, this is why people need to put this stuff together. City built of crystals and minerals as materials. Like this house right now is built from cement. Imagine if we just used all these materials to build our house. Well, the other civilization, even the one that blew up, was made out of those things. And those control pieces are what we call on Earth relics. this is when you get fallen stars, which is actually what the symbol of the pentagram is a star that fell in a three-dimensional shape of the pentagram and had its own sentience, being a relic from other worlds. So this is actually the height of what people can think of when they're talking about UFOs, when they're talking about other life forms, when they're talking about all of that. And what we're also inviting people to do is to get back into themselves so that they can actually seek out themselves. And so this is a real thing. And so, again, I can sometimes get a little bit excited about these kind of topics, but it's because also where I'm at is I'm basically in a fab lab. We're developing a device that allows you to program water. It's called PhiAqua. And this is just saying, okay, let's cut right to the chase. Why can't we create anything? Well, most people don't have fabrication machines. They don't even have the throughput investors. They don't have a lot of things. So there's a gap is what I'm saying that we can fill and we will fill. And that puts the resources and the power necessary to start doing other things, ventures that actually are not driven by finance. Like a lot of your ventures, every time I'm talking to y'all, y'all be going deep doing stuff. I'm like, okay, wow, okay. And a lot of times, and because I already analyzed every situation, there's funding that's needed to actually get wherewithal to do a lot of this because it's they're in the matrix. What money is, it's shaped like a rectangle. It's actually phi. It's a dollar, right? So it's a doll. And on this doll, there's a dead body, okay, which is the president, dead president. And then there's this signature, which is his two-dimensional imprint. And then there's magnetic strips. And then there's also paper made out of things like willows, which are trees that are aligned to more the negative aspect of our character, not saying one is good or bad. Mm. And this is what people are given every day and are transacting every single day to try to get themselves to another level. But I will say one thing. If you can't figure out money, what makes you think you can figure out the ninth heaven? Some people have it a little bit confused. They have taken on this the program, which is also from the oppressors, that wealth and abundance, et cetera, is not for us. But the human itself is like a tree that has an inexhaustible fruit. We continue to produce energy even faster than it can even be consumed, even faster than we can even use it. And on top of that, the truth is that there is really no scarcity. Anyone who's been through a journey knows there's so much power and energy in there. You're like, okay, just turn it down. I need to come back. So this is showing you that actually the truth is that there's no limits to energy, but the throughput. And so this is when you study, when you look at carriers, the throughput of how you can put energy in a person. We figured out how to put energy in everything. We got batteries, we got cars, we got all these different things. But what about us? There's not even one single good electrolyte on the market. They're giving people Gatorade and Pediasure. I mean, think about this. This is the clutch point. So all I'm saying is that when we make moves, we really make moves. I've watched since Mount Shasta, like I'm in Costa Rica. So even Bhagwa's community, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Osho, many of the people that 40, 50 years ago, they expected this to happen already. Many of those people are here and many of them are passing away now. And I have to see some of them because I have to come and bring the message, like, because we promised that even when a person may be on their way out, some people have intentions, no matter what they got involved in, they had intentions to get the truth before they go through the cycle again. That's all that's going to happen. Death, oh, the boogeyman. It's just a person diving back into their memories again. But what I'm telling you is that where you normally are is you're on the tip. You're on the point of the sun. This means you're experiencing everything as it happens. There's no possessions. There's no death. There's only youth. You're never tired. There's no sunset for the sun. So in this point, you can't be possessed. So you're experiencing everything as pure essence.
So Seven, you're saying that this is what people can attain. This is our potential.
This is the next leap. The next jump from here.
We have very limited thinking, limited beliefs.
We do. And I think one of the fundamental things for people to perhaps learn that they will learn at our conference is that that we are all one. The idea that we are individuals is not true. We are connected to the limitless universe, and I believe that we are like holograms of the universe. And when people get that, not only on an intellectual level, not only on an emotional level, but on an energetic level, I think that's when the gates fly open and the energy of the universe and instant manifestation becomes ours.
When we have cognitive dissonance, we tend to think that that other people's beliefs are different from ours and that they have a different system from us. When the truth is, we're actually all in the same system.
Let's cut even to the chase on that, because even when they do that, what you just explained, right now, people have a primal sense. Like I said, they're engaged in the R complex. So there's a primal sense to not only just take care of themselves, but also store for a while until they actually feel that they're comfortable. So what I'm saying is that people can't even tune into high levels of spirituality until they're offered an environment that is conducive of that. And to do that, when you study the models of the past communities and their huge breakdowns, and you just rework the model, what you can come up with is something in open source. Because one thing that we're going to talk about in the Paradigm Shift Conference is we're going to talk about knowing versus belief.
Nice.
Because I'll give you a brief test to do to yourself. Turn a recorder on, follow around, let the recorder be on all day, and then transcribe what's on the recorder. Hopefully you can forget it's even on. Transcribe what's on the recorder and see how many words have to do with maybe or believe or basically needing to still understand something before you can fully confirm who you are and what you are. That is what will tell you, because you are playing a code every day that you don't even listen to anymore. I don't think about how many times I say that unless I make a conscious effort. But the only reason that you're using this tool is to simply allow you to see, are you a believer or do you know? Because the biggest thing is, and let me explain why, what the knowing is really about is the knowing is going to allow you to actually tap into what we're calling the peak. Because see, what happens is if you play the serpent's game, let me explain to you. Now, the serpent was the most cunning beast of the field and the most intelligent, okay, because it had been in physical worlds longer. So it amassed this knowledge. That's why serpents have always been cognates of trees. Trees have always been cognates of wood. Wood have been always cognates of paper. Paper has always been cognates of books. Books have always been cognates of learning. Learning has always been cognates of wisdom. Wisdom is the serpent, okay? Let you be as gentle as doves and as wise as serpents, okay? So what I'm saying is that now when the serpent wants to play its game in your mind with its contracts and simply ask you, hey, if you manifested all this, why don't you know everything about it? You have to be able to say, well, your knowing was actually foolishness to the supremes. Like in the ancient book, it says man's knowledge was foolishness to God. What that means is that you know all of this already, so you don't have to play the numbers game. You don't have to go get all these college degrees and all of these living to be the oldest person, get the most rewards, all of these accolades and all this thing. This is what a person fills up their mind with to try to calibrate for themselves what it means to have achieved something. This is how much the abuse is going on. But for a being that starts to tap into the all-knowing, where when it's data, 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 and the person's like, okay, but I know that. I know we're all one. I know we're all connected. But when I go out there, I don't feel that. So how are we going to do that? What's the main thing? Money. It just is. And if one thinks it isn't, why are we paying for anything? So what is the opposite of money? Sovereignty. So we should always set the point on sovereignty. What is sovereignty? Have your own powers. Power is these lights, that water. Because what it does is when you do it on the physical plane, I'm talking about how you do things on the micro to affect the macro. When you do things on the physical plane, you can affect what goes on. That's why they say as above, so below. So if you happen to just get even in a little situation of sovereignty, you would cause the actual phenomena, actually what happened first, but we see it a second. You would cause the actual phenomena for you to become a sovereign on this higher metaphysical realm that we always talk about. And the reason why this is so important is because nothing can have power over you then. And I'll just give you this last part. The reason why we are dealing with such a crazy situation all the time is because you have energies that are known as egregors. They're artificial life forms that are developed based on when rituals like religions and belief systems by the human beings take place. It concentrates something inside of the astral plane, okay? And it actually, because it's not born through a womb, that's why they call it artificial, not that it's not real. So many of these egregors that were started back in the days, like let's say Christianity, none of them bear actual resemblance to what they were in the beginning, because when the people who were the ones who did the initial rites, they try to teach the others to do those same rites, but it starts to lapse. So as they leave off this plane, the egregor starts to actually move on its own volition, and it can't be controlled. And this is why most traditions and things don't bear the same resemblance as they did in the beginning. We also create egregors in our own consciousness. It could really actually be anything that we concentrate and congeal energy into. But what's most important to realize is that in many times we can switch, and this is what Joe Dispenza talks about, we can switch actually into our egregor. And actually forget that we are something greater than that. So then also, this is the last thing. So then when it's time to destroy that thing, you find yourself like really fighting against yourself to go to the next level. And so this is, I think, things that obviously there's longer courses for this, people can afford to take some time and listen to in order to get to the pinnacle of what they're looking for.
I know exactly what you mean, because I made a post once where I said it wasn't gods that created humans. Humans created the gods. And I think that's what you mean with the egregors. And it's, I mean,
yeah, and then also to have someone do that intentionally. See, because that's actually moving with intent then, right? Because it's, I'm not saying one is good or bad. I don't play the good or bad game. Sure. What I'm saying is that when one moves with intention, everything that you create, even universal soul love, the paradigm shift, all these become egregors in a sense. But there's also the power, the will, the ritual, and all that. And those are all the things that you set up that are behind it, that give it power and give it life. And right. You know, so that's just an internal look at what goes on in the various shades of our own life, and also how to, you know, even look beyond, because, you know, that's the positivity, that's the optimism. And then sometimes in the negatives, we need to obviously have those balanced out.
And I'm just going to support what you just said. I don't have to go any further with it. I know exactly what you're talking about with the wisdom of the serpent. I've had my dealings, and I know, you know, I'm just supporting what you're saying and agreeing with you on all of that without saying anything, adding anything to it.
There's a lot of very powerful and very subtle concepts here. Certainly the concept that we are at one with the universe is a very important concept. I know from Eastern philosophy, they cut through the illusion of the self, that the self is in fact an illusion and doesn't exist in the same way that we think it does. Mm-hmm. However, apart from the fact that we ultimately are in a non-dualistic world, ultimately, dualism does exist. And it's very important to differentiate between your own free will and your spirit and anything else impinging upon that. Mm. It's almost like two paradoxical concepts, isn't it?
It is.
We in the universe are one. We are holograms of the universe. At the same time, it's very important that we recognize our true spirit and don't let anything shackle us up.
Like Seven exactly. says, we're like little fingers. We're like little sensors or fingers of the universal source of the universal intelligence. We're just like the bacteria that we're looking at under the microscope, in a sense.
Right.
Sensing reality and experiencing reality.
We're everything.
Yeah, we
and,
are.
And in a finite reality, everything can't be comprehended. There's still a lot to bring here. Like, this is just a vessel, and it's filling itself up with our memories and our ideas. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was saying is that, okay, so at the end of this, just so we're at the end of the conversation, I try to deliver as much as I can. At the end of this, your only two directions is to get back on to the point, or they say back to the point, or focus. There's a lot of terms that show you what they're talking about and where you would be. Or you can go and live in the memories. And this is why many people reflect. Like if you look at the movie Brainstorm, old movie, right? But they're showing you that you have this option in the end to go back into your projection where you feel like, oh, well, if I had it changed or if I did something then, there's a Roman version of you. There's the Egyptian version of you. People have already started cracking into this, but this is still all in the same parallel of Earth. That's all that is, but it's us diving back into the experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that what many people are saying is that they're ready to move on. They're ready to actually live forever again, and because this is just what's opposite to that. And then when you can think about actually even something like this being created, it's then that we can get the level of get an idea of the level of knowledge of what we're talking about. Because imagine we created something, death, that doesn't actually exist, and time, and a lot of other things. Actually, the whole thing. Wow.
And the whole holographic.
Right, and that's the paradox. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's called trinary. See, right now we're on this binary. Most people are on this binary code, so it's hard for them to see. Well, how can I be a paradox? How can I be actually up there and down here at the same time?
Right.
I'm only aware of this one, and then so all of these things can now be demystified. Though we can even explain to a person how to get their self back in balance from being predominantly physical to actually utilizing their spirit body more, the dream body. We always work deeply on not complicating it for ourselves. Remember, the term mysticism literally came from putting a mist or a fog over something so one could not see it. Same thing with occultism, to hide something. So this is really, obviously in our history, something that actually where there was an attempt to hide it and keep it away from us. Why?
This certainly was.
Right. And I would only say that when we look at things like that, it would have to be some kind of agreement or treaty. And that's what they call the covenant, where in this covenant, which is being broken, humans actually weren't supposed to have any spiritual powers anymore.
That's
this is
correct.
Just like another country. When we destabilize a country and we sign a treaty with them, one of the things is we say you can't develop any kind of real weaponry, though. And that's in the treaty. So we have to think about it. All the same thing that keeps happening in the world. It's always happened. When we solve it, that's when we solved it for good. And yes, I do believe, as Lana's saying, that it will take the whole thing. They will be needed as capacitors, resistors, conduits to hold the limitless when this planet actually goes into the chain reaction of the activation. Now, will I be here in some shape or form? Probably. I mean, you never leave. It's like your DNA. When you get it on something, it's everywhere. So I get the whole thing, but I also get that there's something that is also showing us in these codes that there's that other space, and then how we can actually get into it.
So you're actually talking about people being able to get back to source, about people being able to get back to source, about the possibility of being as gods, our true nature.
I'm actually talking about, and this is a real thing, we're doing it now. It's a sequence of things, and there's some techniques involved. But what this is just to explain it and demystify it, this is not mysticism. The direction that the body's energetic field is going in, and it's so complex to explain because it's not really a direction, because it's the way that we move. It's the way that we are. It now needs to reverse its field in order for us to actually turn on our perpetual. It's like we're going in this direction, and that's why we use, most people predominantly one, we'll have one hand that's stronger than the other. There's a natural lean or wobble. So we're going into this direction that it is the cult of death. It's like even the way that the clock spins, like the actual clock on the wall, that direction is known to be the direction of death. And if you even test yourself sometime, like if you walk in a circle and you feel like which one feels more comfortable to you and which one doesn't feel comfortable to you, you'll notice it's the same one where the clock is going that way on the wall. So it's the reason for this, and I'll just demystify it once again, it's because the words are backwards. Look what the word is saying, backwards. That the language that we're using is actually backwards. And what this does is it turns it's like a rewind. So this is why people have synchronicity and deja vu. This is why things actually appear like in many mystical cases that they've been set up before you got there. The only explanation of that is not all the time that some divine being, unless that divine being is you, put all that there for you. It's actually that you're going backwards and you set all this stuff up for yourself. It happened already. So if you went into the full magnitude of things, which is up to you, then it would actually be done at another space, and you could begin to pull in the energy from there. And this is why I was saying, all it is you're just correcting the metamaterial, the actual microgeometries inside of your body, so you can really connect back with self. Because what's been happening is the rejections through the judgment. Since everything in the reality is a part of us, we always say that, we know that, all is self. This means that anytime we don't like something, I don't care what it is, because it's appearing to us in its dense form, not in its light form. So some stuff is not going to look the way you want it to. But if we just judge and say, "That's I don't like that. I don't like black. I don't like green, or I don't like tomatoes." It actually, it's something that's what I was saying. That's our code now. We've started working now on this binary code, and we were really trinary and beyond beings. And people talk about this, they know this, but what I'm talking about is, okay, so this is how we fix it. Remember, 100 years ago, the Enlightenment era already happened. This was the time that they sequestered all the knowledge from the world at the Royal Society of London to actually begin to study, how did God create Earth? That was the main topic. And these people, when they get onto something, they don't deviate. That's where Nicholas Flamel got his cash from. That's where all these people that got cash to go and explore, and also the Radio Larry from George Haeckel, the Medusas and the geometry and all that stuff, that was pulled in 100 years ago. And it's just a shame that once it was pulled in, the doors were closed. They didn't say, hey, humanity, it's all for you now. What they said was, actually, we're going to make the replicas of nature, and then we're going to sell them to you, and then you're going to buy them. And we're going to even tell you it comes from us when it really came from your mother. And that's the world. And two, again, my inventors, they come in and they say, from now, see, this is the age of the desktop. This is the age where you can actually put a laser on your desktop. You could put a 3D printer on your desktop. You could put a mill machine on your desktop. Before, you needed a whole room and millions of dollars to do that. So now, of course, it's being done where we don't want to create anymore. So I urge the inventors and the creators, the real thinkers, the next levels of the Elon Musk, to come forth, use your metaphysics and penetrate this dense knowledge that, you know, it's here, like the book Secrets in Plain Sight, Scott Onstott. These kind of geometric, you know, stuff, we could just go to the cream of the knowledge. That's all I'm saying. And then when we get to the cream of the knowledge, we can use that in our applications, and it will respond to us. Last thing, do you know that when they took they have these things called deep thinking, deep learning AI. And this is when what they're doing with all the information of how people comment on Facebook and all the information that's being shared. It's fed into a machine that is a custom machine that knows how to categorize this. And then it starts to think. Because when they say to this machine something like, machine, what is the best style drone for us to build? This machine then gives them a shape. And this was a TED Talk. And this shape ironically looked like our pelvis. So it shows that the most aerodynamic, there's this thing with geometry, and I won't get into it long-winded here now, but there's this basic thing with geometry to understand that the geometry that we're using, like all these squares, like I'm in a room full of steel squares most of the time, that is not the most efficient type of shape because of this. Even for a carpenter, this is a problem because it breaks, but this arc, it's so difficult to break the arc. So this new technology, if you may, that we're going to be seeing, I'm not saying it's good or bad, that's going to be coming, is actually going to go into the shape of more like circular and feminine shape. And this is how, again, that same aspect of just trying to be close enough like the mother, but not the mother, keeps permeating into the reality, because there's already a plan to shift the geometry of the reality. So people start saying, oh yeah, well, here's something that I more vibe and connect with, but it's from Apple. And so that's all I'm saying. It's just, the big paradigm shift also has to be, put yourself back into the seat of power, get rejuvenated again, start this thing up. Remember that this is it is really like a battery. If you don't have enough electrolytes in your system, even after you come off of a strong meditation, that's why you feel like you want to go to sleep. You got to throw electrolytes, minerals that are right away back into the system. So again, who's creating this? Can I go to the store and then, some company got electrolytes right there for me? Be that person. Okay. And listen, there's nothing. The funny part is people believe sometimes that maybe if they did something amazing, they get killed. Like, trust me, I thought for many of the things, so the last 7-8 years, if you listen to all of that stuff, what I'm really, I break down the entire thing, period, from all levels. You would think after that there would be a problem, but there's only a problem when you have a problem with yourself. Mm. And that's what this all boils into. We can be the one standing in our own ways.
We can stand in our own power. If you believe there's a problem, there's certainly going to be a problem, and you're going to have to deal with the problem that you believe you have.
So a big crux of this is having the right belief system, or breaking out of the old. Could I just ask Seven, just to give our listeners a bit of a teaser? So in the conference, you've talked about codes. Will you be actually giving us some practical codes, practical ways to break out of our old selves into our new selves?
Most definitely.
I'm going to use myself as an example for you for this after you talk about this too as well.
All right.
My own being a collective soul and being aware of it. I'm going to ask you about that when you're done.
All right. Mm. Okay.
So no, go right ahead. I think I've done a lot of talking. I mean, I would love to hear from you.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to interrupt what Lana was.
Well, it's really something to look forward to. You're actually going to give us some practical codes to help raise our vibration.
Yes, I do. I mean, it's really, things are so intuitive and perfectly calibrated these days. It's literally like, because it's like a well of treasures. Which one do you bring? And what I've always found that was so unique is just that time and just that space and how it was able to, bring something based on who was there. And this is, the most interesting thing is that I always say that you shouldn't necessarily, once you know your special, marvel in yourself. You should marvel with the people that you're around and meeting and who they are. Because when you truly know who you are, you'll know what the whole sequence is. And you'll know that each person that's with you, that there's been some space shared before. And there was some agreements that were made, because you notice we're always into promising things. This is our thing. So a lot of times when you make promises, if you think about what it is to be a noble metal, like, or a noble gas, that means when you make a promise or you're like something, you're really like that. And so many of us make promises to others. You know what? I'll be back for you, or I'll take care of you, or I'll always be here for you. So even in those promises, we have some stuff to just finish up so we can get out of here, or it's going to keep repeating. I can literally prove, and we're not going to do this on the session of the paradigm shift, but just proving the cyclic nature of time within the words, like psycho, like crazy, but cycle, like C-Y-C-L-E, and how going in circles a lot can produce a certain level of a level of insanity through repetition. Right. And then insanity, what is the definition? To do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So
that was Einstein, wasn't it?
Exactly. So to look at actually the words themselves, the words mean worlds. If you add an L, which means God. So there are codes that are actually written in our language. Now, remember, even if you had full access to the 26 letter code, that's the English language. There's also 26 phases in the sun, so that's a solar language. But also, 26 times 2 is 52. That's basically a year. So that means one cycle of the sun, which is called an anu. So right away, you've just basically pinpointed that all of these cycles and all these rotations and all of these numbers, that there is actually some key to not only how we're speaking, but every day of the year. And then, of course, then 52 cards come out. And now every single day of the year, there's a specific kind of energy moving through. And what this is like a sailor. That's why they always liken all of this knowledge unto that of the sailor's knowledge, because that sailor is basically sailing through the cosmic ocean. And just like what you would see, would you rather be on a wave of energy that is inexhaustible, or would you rather be rowing? And I could just explain this from when you get a boat onto the ocean, a real nautical genius never even has to engage the row or anything. He gets right onto the current, or she gets right onto the current, and then everything that you want to see is going to eventually come by. So you're not actually trying to be in some place that you're not supposed to be. Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in the boat of the nautic, they know that there's going to be a time and place for everything. So if you're doing something else when it's time to do something else because you don't know how to sail the boat, then you're going to get shipwrecked. Shipwrecked is when you run into something coming in the completely opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do, and the codes are about unleashing that tied down ore of yours back into the flow of things, understanding the balance and the harmony, so that way you can catch up with yourself.
Equilibrium.
Listen to what I'm saying. Catch up with yourself. Because remember, I said, if you're at the point, it's like now you're basically, the stardust is just hitting you all in the face of yourself. These are all your memories. See, the thing is that look at how it starts. It starts with the tip or the point light. And then once it starts slowing down, when it gets into the shadow, it becomes more dense. And that's called planets. That's what the planets are. That's why I say the moon is a receptacle of the nighttime memories of all the beings that live on the planet and what they do at night. And it holds that like a weight. And then the sun and all these other, that's why they have codes in them. That's why they're holding energy, but more or less a story or memories.
I'm going to use myself as an example, as a practical example of everything that you've said throughout this show. And Lana knows my story, and I've probably said my story, parts of my story on the show several times. I'm very aware of being a collective soul. I have many past lives with me and other existences. And I even remember a parallel life with some of the people we're working with that you know as well. The world came to an end. Yeah, I remember airstrikes and running from explosions. I remember, you know, very vivid memories of a parallel existence where I went through the apocalypse. And yet here I am, and with my past lives and the dark stuff and the traumas. And I remember the deals and the promises and all sorts of contracts and all sorts of memories of Vikings and Druids. And I could go on and on, but I think you get the idea. Here I am.
And exactly. And it's not only here you are, here all of them are.
That's right.
And that's the most interesting part is because, see, what they want us to do is narrow down our entire character into this being that we're seeing in the mirror. And that's how Alice plays Wonderland. And this is so that you actually don't end up unlocking the Emir that's actually in the bloodline. Like it's there, it's in the meta code, but the actual configuration of the geometry is not ready to actually take in that much. And this is also a concern, I will say. And there's a work, I guess, that needs to be done in order for this activation to be safe, if you may. And that's the cleansing process of the ayahuasca, right?
So people don't actually blow their minds completely.
Basically, and this is
a warning there for anyone who wants to do the conference. It could blow your mind.
Well, yeah, it could blow your mind. And the thing is that this is why you have, because all these electronics are just emulations of how this works on the physical plane from a spiritual level. You have capacitors, you have resistors, you have all these different components. And this is what humanity is. That was their unique purpose. So remember that in all the ancient tribes, the only thing that the elders were doing is attempting to show you how to unlock your uniqueness. Now, everyone wanted to see that because it was going to bring us something new that we hadn't seen. So the joy of showing someone their uniqueness was the reward for the elder. So we just have to remember that also unique kind of means also these days what you don't like, meaning that when someone's doing something strange and not being like you, then it's like, now it's time to judge. So then once you judge, you shall be judged. This is a part of their actual reptilian mind. That's why they're all the judges still. Like if you understand the cult of Melchizedek, but they're basically the judges. So in these judges, it's like, oh, that's the archonic world. That's where now everything's split into a prism. Now there's all these colors. There's a race. This is a key point for the listeners. There's a race because what is the race? Well, since the last one blew up, that means there had to be some kind of conflict. So the race is, since we come onto a primal planet, now nobody has tech. Like actually, we're just trying to survive from some of the larger life forms that grow because of the nitrogen-based atmosphere, just like most green zones have bigger insects, et cetera. Nitrogen-based atmosphere, larger life forms. People are coming here from a fully advanced world on a fallout back to a primal world, back to square one, okay? And then if we look at that, what is the race then? Well, the rearmament. Okay, arm is a cognate of Mars. right? The arms, Mars. So the rearmament, that's why Mars is the war planet. So the rearmament is like, hey, let's get our technology back together so we can split atom. What is that? A nuclear weapon. There was a race to just get back to the level of being able to produce a nuclear weapon. And who gave them that knowledge? Well, if you're reading your books, it shows you that AWAS, Aleister Crowley channeled AWAS and JPL channeled AWAS to get the information about splitting the atom. That's why Oppenheimer quoted the Bhagavad Gita, because they went into the Hindu tantric, dark tantric knowledge and actually found the Vimana Shastra, which is how to create the implosive vehicle, right? This is what the knowledge says. So then the implosive vehicle, if you turn it upside down, which is the inverted pentagram, it becomes explosive. That's why where there's power, there will be fear, because all power, it has the ability, like the cartoon says, it can fall into the hands of evil. That it's the yin and it's in the yin and the yang with Murphy's Law. If it can, it will.
Well, so, I think destruction is part of the creative process, isn't it? I mean, it's part of the alchemical process.
In binary world, listen to what I'm saying. There's decay in the pattern. When we remove the decay in the pattern, it removes the lie. See, the lie is we shall never perish.
That's right.
We cannot. And the lie begins with the statement, let there be light, which is the first lie.
As if it was ever gone in the first place.
Well, as if we needed an external light and there wasn't one that burned within.
That too.
And that's why I say, then they were blinded by the light. And this is what it's like to live on the surface. Because remember, all beings don't live on the surface. See, we're actually living on the surface of our consciousness with language. With being fake and in believing in what's in the mirror. That's actually the surface of our consciousness. That's the skin. See, this skin is what is no. This is the symbolics of the illusion itself. Because if I take your skin off and my skin comes off, you're not going to even be able to recognize it. You may run out of the room. But the skin is what determines for if I like you, if you're pretty, if you're ugly, if all of these different things. So that was known as the rainbow serpent. Because that was the illusion that it could create, is that the skin was actually us. And now remember, the skin is the largest organ in the body. And since all the organs are the archons, they're the tones and the vibrations that make up the primordial side of the rainbow, which is the covenant. That means that this one actually was the most, it covered all of the organs. It literally to say, do you notice how people will care more about their skin and how they look than even their insides, right?
True.
Because now if the spleen had its way, we would be eating this, eating, chewing on grass. So this is how, this is the battlefield of Arunja. This is how these different macrobes, because they're not just the little small ones in our body, it's holographic. So it connects with all of the other ones, right? And when the most dominant frequency, Albert, let me tell you how it's all going to work. The most dominant frequency still wins. So when we do get in harmonics, because that's why I said, see, there's no good and bad here. On the Mount Harmon, which is where we get our word harmony from, the angels bounded themselves, meaning they became fixed stars, trees, to actually do the deed. That means to create life. That's why they always called it the tree of life. But of course, the sky dwellers in all, because trees are condensed lights. So these are the sons. So of course, the father was like, it's not even a father. It's more of a, it's actually a male female being. You're going to go back into the memories. So this is all I'm saying. If you're this magnificent being, and like Delbert Blair said, he's now in resting in wholeness or awake in wholeness, as we call it. You always got to do things once. So even if you think of, if any challenge is ever put before you by your higher self, don't go back there. You're going to do it once. Now, the sheer attraction, because if we want to know how we got here, because somebody has these wild stories about how they got here. Look, cut it out. It's only through attraction. The same thing that got you and your mother and your father together. There's still no humans here that don't have a mother and a father. They would love to tell us that there are, but this shows us that this is the attraction, this is the connection. And then notice how when you walk in on like a little baby or your friend or your mom, you actually see your grandmother, you see somebody right there. You're like, yo, what's going on? Well, demystify it for yourself. It's the connection. So that's all I'm saying. You know, I don't want to get, you know, too deep into this, even though we've gone super deep. I want people to be serious about what's going on. But I, you know, I also want a person to realize that we got this.
We
got this because we actually do something. And this is the key to staying out of the judgment: action. True indeed, the idol's mind does make a devil's workshop. If one doesn't have that many things to do.
We've only got about 2 minutes, just to let you.
If one doesn't have that many things to do, then they can let their mind run, and if not, it can be free.
Amazing. That's just amazing.
You are amazing. You are by far one of our favorite guests on this show, and people are going to love the video. We're live on the air. But
they're going to love the Paradigm Shift Conference, so let's get
absolutely.
It
on. Absolutely. Let's get it on. I can't wait for this.
All right.
Well, we're going to have a great time. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Seven.
Thank you, Seven. Really appreciate it.
You got it. Send my thanks to the DJ.
Absolutely.
So good to see you. And you do, like I said, you look great. And I know people are going to love you, and they do anyhow, but they're going to love you at the conference even.
You blow our mind every time. It's just amazing the potential for our ascension.
We
can't wait. And if people want to go onto portaltoascension.com, or is it .org?
Look, just type into Google
Portal
Universal Soul Love, the Paradigm Shift Conference.
And if they want to book tickets, it should be amazing.
And they could check us out at Seeker Energy too, open source spirituality.
Yes, Fantastic. Absolutely. Go check out Seven Bomar.
All right. Goodbye from us at Universal Soul Love. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love, wishing you a lot of love and a lot of vibrant energies for the week ahead. Bye now.
Bye for now. Thank you, Seven.
Wholeness.